through what we've been preaching and a bunch of other things, it's come very clear to me that for some reason or other I have to say something that I've said before, but I'm going to say it again, and that is that I want and I've had 7.5 years to think about it and cogitate about it, and I still want it. For some reason, I have to say.
Well, again, I would ask you the question. Do you want her, or do you want your Cupid doll image of her? She doesn't meet your image. Well, by definition, your image of her is her with you. Okay? She doesn't meet that image. What other parts of the image doesn't she meet? That's the biggest one, but there's probably 16 more that you've lied to yourself in your imaginations. And so you've created an idol or an image in your mind of who this person is, and you've said, that's what I want, and you've given that idol breath. You've given it life, and it has no life. It's an image made the same as you're worshiping a statue, and you think that image will give you life. But forget that part of it. What other, the part of the image of her is that she's with you. Okay, that's obvious that she's not with you, so therefore that part of the image is false. What other parts of it are false?
I don't follow that. I'm certainly aware of the fact that she's not with you.
Okay, your ideal woman, forget names. First of all, she's with you.
Well, I think that part of the, quote, problem may be just the opposite of that.
Well, I don't. Just listen to me. First of all, she's with you. Okay, that's part of this image, this thing in your mind, this engraving. Okay, what other parts of that engraving are your image of her and not her? She didn't make fun of you?
At the end when she got nasty.
Okay. She made fun of you. She castrated you. Making fun of is castration. Okay, so she's part of the image. Number one is that the image, obviously the image you have of her isn't somebody that castrates you or makes fun of you. Okay? But that's what she did. That's what she is. Part of the image is that she is with you, and she doesn't meet that part of the image. Am I communicating at all, or am I talking to the... The only way you can want something that with that much specificity is you've created a picture in your mind. There's something there, right? Now describe that to me. Forget whatever her name is. That's a ghost. Describe your ideal woman.
Challenging, stimulating, erotic, intelligent, interesting, attractive. Fun.
Okay, so let's take them one at a time. Challenging. Okay, you want to be challenged, but only to the degree that you want to be challenged. The ultimate challenge is when she leaves you. I mean, there's no greater challenge. So she's left you. Now, do you still want her to be challenging?
Yeah.
So you want her to leave you?
No.
Well, then you want challenging within... You want to be challenged enough so you're not challenged. What does challenging mean? Want somebody to argue with you all the time? Is that what challenging means? Well, my point to you is that you're being deceived. You're just like the ones in Jeremiah. You've taken a stock of wood and you've shapen it, and you've decorated it, and then you've given it life. And you've ascribed qualities to that. It's just like taking a hunk of wood. And you've ascribed qualities to it, and you've ascribed perfection to it, and you've prescribed it's sitting there. And you said, okay, now, I need that hunk of wood to have life. Therefore, I will worship that.
I don't agree with that. I don't think that's what I am doing.
What are you doing then?
I think I'm living right now.
Well, part of you is. Part of you is living in the past.
I have no desire to return to the past. I have absolutely no desire to return to the past. I have no desire to return anywhere.
Okay, is this woman...
I knew her in the past.
Okay. So what part of her do you want to bring to the present?
What part from the past?
Well, what part from anywhere? She is nothing. She is totally different. She's probably got stretch marks, and she's probably...
That may be the case.
Yeah, but my point is, what part of her do you want to bring to the present?
The part that's her.
No, the part that you think is her, the part that you've created in your mind.
Okay, I don't see that. But, okay, it's true.
Well, if you don't say it's true. That's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. I don't see that at this point. But for a moment, let me assume that what you're saying is correct. It frequently is. What do I do about it?
Confess it as sin. Don't long after it. It's sin. It's idolatry. It has nothing to do with sincerity. It's idolatry.
I have no desire to be sincere. I have a desire to be free of the longing that I feel.
Okay, but then when you're in the position of whatever that thing it is, whether you call it longing or horniness or whatever it is, this is the secret of life as a believer. The moment that something comes up and pops its head up, That's resurrecting past actions, and it's making the blood of Christ worthless. You may not understand that, but that's what spiritually is happening. And what you're doing is rather than longing for it, see it. I don't know how to make you see it, but it's sin. It's a hopeless longing to return to some imagined state of being. It's a continued refusal to be cleansed from guilt, because you still condemn yourself because for becoming religious and chasing her away. So, you know, and therefore it's a condemnation of the whole doctrine. It's sin. It's making the cross of Christ of none effect. It's hardening your heart. It's making your conscience seared as with a hot iron, so that that's all you see and compare. And I mean, I could go on and on all night.
Would you say this if it was any of his other wife or any of his
anybody? And I'll say it to any of you.
Okay.
That's the essence of the meaning of idolatry. That's having a graven image before God. It's not a light thing.
I don't for an instant think it's a light thing.
Well, but you think it has something to do with her. I mean, you've got some image of one or more things that occurred during a period of time that you went together or were married, and you've isolated those happenstances and said there, and you're locked into that period of time.
I'm sorry, I just don't see that. I mean, why do you say that? I mean, why is that the case? I don't know. I mean, it doesn't compute. I'm sorry, it just doesn't compute.
Hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, and the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that move it not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdom, there is none like thee. But they, the ones that do this, are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities, etc., etc., etc. You have created an image that must be born about. It has no life of its own. You are carrying about the ark of not Melech, but of Molech. You are worshiping the Queen of Heaven. You are not worshiping God. You must come to the understanding that it's an either-or position. And you're without hope unless that's resolved.
I'm without hope unless I see that.
Well, because you have given the idol more worship than you have the Lord. I mean, Christ is so severe, he said, you know, you must hate your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your children, yea, your wife, etc., and your own life also. I mean, that's now. Just think of what it means to, I mean, we're talking 16 degrees behind that present tense. I mean, what God sees in your statement, which isn't a confession, by the way, it was an admission, God simply says, you would sell us out in a New York second.
I don't believe that.
Well, I do.
I don't believe that.
I not only believe it, I know it. Given half a chance, given the option of the slightest possibility that she'd have you back, you'd be in Atlanta tomorrow. It's only the grace of God.
I would be in Atlanta. I would be in Atlanta.
It's only the grace of God that she hasn't returned your phone calls and she has totally shunned you.
I would be in Atlanta tonight to see her, but I wouldn't stay there.
Unless she asked you to.
No, I would. If she asked me to, I wouldn't. I mean, I've already been through that with her. I mean, the choice has always been very clear with her. If this is the case, then I need to and want to see that this is the case.
It doesn't work. See, that's conditional. If this is the case. You passed that state when you said, Father, I'm yours. Do you understand that? You could get by with saying, if this is the case, before you were a believer, before you were sanctified, before you presented yourself the living sacrifice. But once you've presented yourself the living sacrifice, you no longer have the luxury of saying, if this is the case. It's obvious it's the case.
No.
Because there is...
The problem is it's not obvious to me, and what I'm saying is that I have to see it.
Okay. I mean, they are altogether brutish, or like an animal, or like a... think of the ugliest animal you can think of. It's exactly the same. You might as well be lusting after an aardvark. I mean, it's the same exact issue. They are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. It's that idol, that thing is empty. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Ufaz, the work of the workman, and the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. And your creation of her, in your mind, is as cunning as any of the workmanship that's ever been done on an idol or under a statue. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasure. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is a falsehood. There is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up the wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said, Truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch for, etc., etc. It's important that all of us see that the graven images that we have here in our imaginations are as real as if we had done this.
Amen.
And set them up just as they were in the temple of Nimrod.
Amen.
I'm willing.
Well,
I got this picture just now of when you said you want them to see that because you don't, and I thought, you know, went insane if something totally disgusting or horrible happened to her and she was no longer even feasible for anyone, you know, if she was murdered, you know, you said whatever it took. It's not always.
I want this over. This has gone on for a long time. Very long time. Rises and falls, it comes and goes. In the last week or two, it's been a time where it's been here, and it comes on me.
Can you speak this? Lord, pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate.
Absolutely. Amen.
You understand what that said?
I do.
understand it.
What do you think it said? You just asked Roy.
I know that. And I also asked for what's left of me, the fleshly human being, to be destroyed. And I say amen to both. I mean, it's got to come to it. It's got to come to an end. It's too much for too long. Mm-hmm. When you said the last two times you talked about temperance, about anything that impedes, what is it, anything that impedes the highest efficiency of that calling or something like that? I mean, this is in the way. Massively.
The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all which I commanded you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, and said, So be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore will I bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned backwards to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my word and went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have you set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto that Baal. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest? The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of godly fruit, goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves, to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. Interestingly enough, right after that, that's when they plotted to kill Jeremiah. Now, this is exactly what the issue of casting down imaginations is all about. And at every point, those graven images are as real as the 500 idols that were in the temple of Nimrod. And we must each be as Abraham and take that axe handle and smash each of those idols. Now, how do you do that? Well, you proclaim, proclaim your cause. You,
What do you mean, proclaim your cause?
You openly and willingly open yourself to that, to speak whatever it is that you think. Whatever. Now, and the process that will be enjoined is warfare. And it doesn't matter if it's enjoined 65 times a day. We exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Then the trial of faith is its trial is active. It's burning fire stuff. It's acid being poured on you. It's a trial of faith isn't suppression and quiet suffering. It's not quiet aloneness dwelling and musing over your own past or your own talents or your own desires or your own wants. It's active warfare. And that's why am I communicating?
I mean,
that sounds good to me. I'm tired of that stuff that you just described. I'm tired of that stuff. I don't want to do that stuff anymore.
What is the stuff you're talking about that you're tired of? Not having your way?
The sitting and quietly musing about my own bullshit.
Well, then that's...
And the quiet suffering and pain and all that horseshit. I'm tired of that.
It's old. It's boring. It's in the way. It's slowing me down, and it's slowing the body down. And I don't want to do that stuff anymore. It's much more fun not doing that.
That would be the answer then to how you save them with a vengeance.
It's having in readiness. You know, remember, the process is to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Do you understand that? Do you understand, Lee?
I'm not sure I understand disobedience in this context. I mean, from what he's saying, I understand it is idol worship, and then, but
you the idea of what disobedience was when I read that disobeyed the word.
No, I don't understand what Harry's talking about as being disobedient to the word.
Oh, I see. You don't understand that what he is doing is sin.
Yeah, part of me does. I mean, part of me understands that it's like, you know, you're erecting something and you're saying it's important, and in effect it becomes important before God.
What does it mean when we say, again, God didn't care about our words and what we think the meaning of those words is. God cares about something that's unseen. And he calls little innocent things like withholding something. Mm-hmm. He says that's murder. Mm-hmm. And he says like innocent little things like withdrawing from someone because you feel uncomfortable with them. He doesn't like, that's really bad news.
Yeah.
I mean, to withhold is to hate, to withdraw is to murder. Now, and so he sees us totally different than we see each other. Mm-hmm. And than we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. And he sees giving importance to anything is worship.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, disobedience.
And therefore, disobedience. Mm-hmm. Because by nature, see, giving importance to anything is saying that something is more important than something else.
Uh-huh.
So you are distinguishing.
Your rating.
And in that rating system, that's to God, what you're saying to God is, I love the darkness more than the light.
Well, any time we want anything, that happens, isn't it? The case every time we want something.
You have the power within you to instantly see through it. Instantly see through it.
Yeah.
It's not that you judge it good, bad, or indifferent, but you see through it.
That was really what happened after. You know, we were talking about broadcasting before, and you said, you know, just tell God what you want and let the vision be His. It's just like all the tension and the importance of it just completely disappeared after that happened. It was just kind of like, well, what happens will happen, and the vision is God's. And it doesn't, that's the only thing I thought of when you said that, Butch. It's just like, It's not that I don't want to be on the air anymore. It's just that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't traumatize me anymore. Like this is traumatizing.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand is that your reaction to this. It just seems, I don't know anything about it, but it just seems like when you said that, and he said, "Well, just give it to God."
Yeah.
And it was over. But now it's not. So I don't know.
My reaction was.
Well, again, you don't. There's a great scripture. You want me to read you a great scripture?
No, you don't.
Huh?
No, I don't.
You might not.
You might not.
Read it to Daryl.
You might not read it to Daryl.
Read it to Daryl.
Give ear, give ye ear, and hear my voice. Hearken, and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about the cumin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Breadcorn is bruised, because it will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. What it means is that I have to trust how what happens. When Harry says something and I explode at him, or when somebody else says something and I'm gentle with him, that's not my business. Everybody else says, well, that means you're playing favorites.
No, I just thought I was missing something.
Oh, no. The reason you're missing this is because I think this is a seminal issue with Harry. I mean, it's so big that it's...
I figured maybe it'd come up before.
Oh, it's...
Many a time. It's been a long time.
Everything's filtered through this.
My reaction was, you would let me get away with talking that way about vengeance. I mean, you would with the... Vengeance, you would be all over me. At
Maybe
least he better be. Yeah. And, only it was easy on you compared.
You just read Bring Every Thought Captive and Have a Readiness to Revenge All Disobedience. What I don't really see in that is the word revenge.
Well, but you don't also see.
No.
Hear me. You can't understand the word revenge until you understand the first one. You don't see that that desire is sin. Okay, so if you don't see that, then you can't know what revenge means.
Because there's nothing to deal with.
There's nothing, there's no... It's a non-issue. Don't pick on your flesh. You understand?
There either.
You cannot see it as revenge unless you see it as an attack from the enemy. You don't see that your desire for that, it's not a desire, that's too good a word. Your idolatry is from the depths of hell. There's no greater thing, there's no better tool, there's no craftier device that Satan could have used than the construct that he has accomplished in you. It is from the depths of hell. It's not an innocuous want.
I don't think it's an innocuous want.
Well, I know, but I mean, I know this as deep as, there's a part of you that would love for me to tell you how to get. And so what you're saying, this is the rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits.
There's a part of me that would say that, but...
Forget the part of you, Harry. Forget that. This is what Harry would say. The little leaven is leavened the whole lump. There's no part of you. You no longer have the luxury in believing in the partial fallenness of mankind. Or the partial fallenness of Harry. Or the part of me wants to say that. Which part? You're just like that preacher that, I believe in the... let's save the good parts. Do
Do you hear what you're saying? We say a part of me believes that. Which part? They that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. Which part of you one? The part of you that's not joined to the Lord, which part is that? The part from the depth of hell.
That's the part that the conversations are with.
Yeah. I mean, I could read you 50,000 scriptures about it. But... are any of you... are other things in you coming to mind?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, I can't believe you brought it up. But, yeah, because you do want it explained. You want it done away with. But it took forever to admit that you... There was a part of me that might want to do that. I mean,
No, he said a part of me.
Yeah, a part of me would like to slay this idol. But how can it be anything else but imaginations? I mean, unless you know her. Right now.
I'm not saying it's not.
I'm saying it is. Okay?
And I'm not saying that it's not.
Well, you're not saying either. No.
It's like
it. And that's lukewarm.
Maybe not.
I'm really getting pissed, God.
Only in the scriptures, sir.
I'm really getting pissed.
What are you
looking for? Tell us only we can find out.
Sometimes you can. Sometimes somebody just happens to know it.
Yeah? Only, what are you looking for?
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
We spirited him there.
Oh, did a trick.
Thank you, Dale.
I've seen it several times.
Short circuit.
This is not a pretty sight.
Is that what it is?
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you, and he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs. Anybody know what a cockatrice is?
No, they haven't known that.
Huh? What is it? Adder, snake. And weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. I mean, this is all talking about plans, stuff in here. You understand that? This is Isaiah 59. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness we wait, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the middle of the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment. I forgot this. This is. We're gonna.
Sorry.
I didn't. This is my words. I didn't.
No, but you like it too much.
We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. Part of me.
It would have been 100% part. A major part.
We can move on.
We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Judgment is turned away backward, justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it was displeased him. Got really pissed. Okay, now I said all that to say this. It talks here about speaking oppression. You know what? Throughout the scriptures it says trusting in oppression. You know what God sees as oppression?
Are you saying oppression?
Oppression. Your ability to impose your will on someone else, or someone else's ability to impose their will on you.
Yeah.
That's spiritually what oppression is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds, well, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
God, just give me so I can impose my will on her, so I can trust in oppression. Just give me another chance with that girl that I saw over there at some grocery store. Then I'll...
Yeah.
To trust in oppression. God, see, you know, we think oppression is when the believers are in prison, but God sees as oppression the slightest tendency to impose your will on someone else, or to accept having someone else impose their will on you.
Yeah.
What does it mean that we trust in oppression?
You trust in either your ability to control people to get an end result, or in someone else's ability to show you the way. Both of them are trusting in oppression. They're the antithesis of faith.
I have a question about just what happened earlier.
Yeah. All right, chew them out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I chew them out.
Well, that's part of it. But while, he keeps saying, I want to see.
But that's a lie.
Okay, that's my question. That's because of his sin, he's not seeing.
It's already the seeing. It's right here. Okay. His desire. His he's worshiping the wrong God. That's what he has to see.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, because it's like, it sounds
sincere.
I was going to say innocent.
Yeah.
To say I don't understand, but yet it's scary to think that anytime you say something and we don't see, that it's not because we just don't see, it's because of our sin.
No, forget me. Get me out of the picture.
But you're the one who's saying it.
Okay.
Bringing it up.
Okay. But get into the picture that God declares that anything that it's finished. That the total ability to see is set before you now. All it's required is obedience. Therefore, your prayer is not, Lord, let me see, but Lord, show me my disobedience.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you understand? And therefore, it takes me, Ole Anthony, out of the picture. I'm nothing. Forget me. I'm less than nothing. But always the seeing is there. Now, it's always here, right in front of you. Lord, show me my disobedience. Not, Lord, let me see what Ole says. Forget what Ole says. Because I don't mean to put you on a trip, but if you followed in what you had said, then you'd be trusting in oppression. Because you'd be trusting me and my ability to impose my will on you.
That's what I was saying. I didn't like that idea.
Good.
You know.
I don't like that idea either.
Okay.
I don't like that idea worse than you would, because it makes me responsible.
Right. Yeah.
You see, that's why the role of a teacher is to, in meekness. Now, this I may not seem very meek.
No, it's pretty meek. In comparison to
meek.
If meek is purpose weakness, then I would say that your response to me tonight was purpose weakness compared to what it could have been.
Definitely.
Yeah. But it says in meekness, instruct those that oppose themselves.
Yeah.
Now that's the only thing. And the opposition, the only way you can oppose yourself is because that which is, you believe that part of me is doing it.
He screwed up.
Already
screwed up when you said that.
Yeah. When your mind,
remember,
Jamel said that.
Well,
two things I've learned in the last 2 weeks.
He's got the floor.
I was quoting you.
Two things I've learned. One thing I've learned in the last couple of weeks is if you ever get into which part of you is doing something, you're fucked.
Yeah, you're playing the wrong game.
Playing Chinese ball.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to talk anymore because we didn't get to talk anything about what I wanted to talk about.
Again.
Libra is really neat. My
material,
sign.
Material.
It's your sign.
Really? It's all Harry's fault. What?
I don't care. I feel better.
Yeah. I understood something tonight I've never understood. So.
Yeah. What?
I appreciate it. Just about the idea of not seeing and
seeing has nothing to do. The only thing that seeing has to do with is disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see.
Cute.
Cute. By the way, I hate my ex-wife too.
Get you one.
Daddy. Oh, Spanky.
Spanky or Spanky?
Spanky.
Spanky.
That's what Denise would say. I can't
say. Yeah, no, don't blame it on Denise.
Take it, big guy.